So good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Wendy.
Sitting with, like, what is practice, the first thing that comes to me is Zazen and living. So Zazen practice and living practice. And they're really one, but when we have to be asked to put words to it, we divide immediately. So sometimes the best teishos or talks are no talks, and yet the struggle I find is putting words to expressing it. And I think that's the hardest thing I've encountered in Zen, is expressing what it is. But the practice part of it, of Zazen, I think is essential. And just coming back, for me, I do the counting, my breath. I do Shikantaza. Shikantaza is just sitting, where you're just not counting your breath. You're not doing anything, just presence, coming, just the presence. But that can lead to a lot of thinking. So when I start thinking, then I come back to my breath, my posture. And I've been sitting in a chair because I've had some issues with my knees. And the fact that I'm allowing myself to sit in a chair is a tribute to the practice, where, because I'm pretty judgmental of myself. And you should be on a cushion, you know. And sitting in a chair is not really sitting. Woo, I had to deal with that because I wasn't sitting as much because it was hurting my knees so much. So, but whether I'm in a chair or on a cushion, you know, having the knees slightly below the tailbone. So on a chair, I even use a cushion to have the knees slightly below and find that tripod of either my feet on the floor with my spine, or if I'm sitting on a cushion, I find that tripod of my knees and the base of my spine. And I come back to that. And then I also often will, like, check in with my head and tilt it down. If I find I have a lot of tension in my shoulders, I will tuck my chin in and kind of nod my head forward, and it releases that tension back there. And makes room for that breath. And I tend to have a lot of thoughts, like a lot. And so I just keep coming back to the breath a lot. And sometimes they begin to settle, which is really wonderful. So when I was thinking about this talk, the first book that came to my mind that I wanted to kind of take a look at was Transmitting the Light. The Record of Transmitting the Light. It's Zen Master Keizen's Denko Roku. This version was translated by John Dido Laurie, or the intro, and the translation is by Francis Dojin Cook. And I haven't read the entire book. I'm fascinated with Shakyamuni's story, but this is the genealogy, the spiritual genealogy of the Buddha and the passing down of the Dharma from India to China to Japan, and it traces 53 teachers, and it follows kind of a regular structure. There's the case where the person gets their insight, so Shakyamuni's insight. Then there's the circumstances of their life, and then there's a teisho on it. So, like I said, I'm fascinated with Shakyamuni's enlightenment, but it's every single story is about a teacher looking for the new student to pass it on, finding the student, and then getting them to enlightenment, find their awakening, and then passing it on, da 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 da. And it goes, so it goes. But I guess I like the Buddha story for a couple of reasons. And Shakyamuni Buddha, his enlightenment was when he saw the morning star and was enlightened. He said, "I and the great earth and beings simultaneously achieve the way." So I'm not going to go into this whole thing. It's really kind of cool. There's interesting things to read, but that's what's been with me all week, is as I move through the day, as I walk, I and the great earth and beings simultaneously achieve the way. Maybe I will go into it a little bit. So it kind of breaks it down, and it says, what is this I? What is this and? In order to understand this, we have to really understand I and what is that? And they tell you the answers in the story. They say, I is the great Lord of light. So like the part of us, I guess, that's bigger than us. And the and is everything else, like the great earth and the beings. But the I is not like I, Wendy. It's like the I, the great I. And we're not separate. You know, the I, that thing we experience, that awakening, is completely one with my Wendy self, right? And I love this because Buddha touched the earth. Buddha was sitting outside, saw the morning star, and the earth is in this. I and the great earth and beings. And I love the earth, and I find refuge in the woods. I find it when my foot hits the trail. I feel the thoughts drop off when I touch the earth, when I'm with the earth, in the same way of sitting. But it's the walking practice I find really helpful. But this is something I cannot answer and that I'm going to be with for some time. I and the great earth and beings simultaneously achieve the way. And I love the way. I love the Tao. So I think I just love this as a mantra. And near the end of this, and all of the, you know, and tells you all about the Taisho, it says, now you've got to find it in your own heart. And I feel like that is also what Zen is about, is finding it in our own hearts and waking up in our own personal circumstances and realizing that every circumstance is absolute, is enlightenment. And I don't see that at all. I'm like in my head a lot. I'm very judgmental. I actually started crying this morning when we said, waking up this morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. I vow to look upon all beings with eyes of compassion. I started to weep because I know I don't do that. And I don't look at myself with compassion. And I don't look at others with compassion until I come here or read something. It slowly changes me. And then I also felt my father. And I wanted to touch on how, like, I came to Zen practice mostly for mental health. I wanted to not be so depressed. I come from a family with a lot of alcoholism and mental illness, and my grandmother killed herself from depression, and then that affected my father for his whole life, and he drank. It was like a really rough ride, you know what I mean? And so I was trying to escape at a very young age, like 10, with drinking, and then led to drugs, and I had a pretty wild life before I was even 18 and legal. I had done so many things, and it was really trying to just deal with my messed up family and head. And then at 18, I stopped the drinking and the drug use, and I started to seek. I became a seeker at 18, seeking peace. So I would say from my practice, the journey towards mental health and, you know, for myself and compassion in my own brain and with my family has been like very parallel with Zen. And then when I came to Zen, I was thinking enlightenment would free me from my mind and depression, and it doesn't. I've had great moments of joy from sitting, but I'm me, and I have my family background. And just today, when I was sitting, I thought of my father who suffered so much, and I'll just end with this. I feel like my journey is in wholeness in myself and with my family. And that's probably going to make me cry because it feels very broken still in my head. Both my parents have passed on, and I actually feel much closer to both of them. And that also came up when I was thinking about what I would say, that in their death, I have come to treasure them more and experience them more. This little card was from my mom, and I found it in here. And I was like, wow, like every bit of her handwriting, you know what I mean? I'm just like, it calls me, and I'm like, oh wow, how come I was not that present with you? And I'm more present now, and I do feel like there's a very big split with just my siblings and I. And then I feel that ripple out, because of whatever I feel that affects us, like our nuclear families, whatever we come from, we carry, and then it kind of ripples out. And I feel like Sangha is healing, and if I open myself to it, I'm healing a little bit at a time, and then maybe that can heal my family. But it's like I'll end with this, like close the gap between the practice that I experience and then in my life. having these experiences in the Zendo, but then being very distant from my siblings and not being able to connect with them. And then the distance in myself too, and having that compassion for myself, because I have to walk in these feet. That's funny. I just had this spirit. I don't walk in them. So yeah, I think that's really it. I think that it's that journey to wholeness and presence here and here that brought me to Zen, and that continues to bring me back to Zen. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for this practice and other things that help liberate us, you know, therapy, 12-step programs. There's so many different ways to find healing. So that's all I really have to say. Thank you. This was a great experience to really be asked to do this.
So I have a question. So I'd be interested in hearing about how Zen impact on your work with your students and the work that you do in theater. Mm. I'd really like to hear about it.
That's so cool, because that actually, I forgot about that. It totally impacts it. And like sometimes I experience living Zen that I was talking about, where things just flow and there's like a spirit almost, and it's in the creativity with the kids. And I felt it just recently. We're doing something called the 10-Day Film Challenge, where kids have 10 days to make a 4-minute short film. And I see the release of judgment of my students when we get into this. I tend to judge. I tend to say, oh, this one's going to do this and this one's trying to do that. And when I let go of that and they all come together, and I'm like, I really don't know anything about these kids. Like, I don't know what they're capable of. There's a not knowing, you know, of my students. There's a no judging. And then there's a spirit of creativity that I'm like, whoa, I'm wowed by it. It's a not knowing. It's a big not knowing, and it happens. It feels like spirit to me. Honestly, I'm like, I don't know, you know, I don't know what's happening, but it's happening. And I think it happens because I can let go. And Zen has taught me how to let go and be there with them. And I would say that my work with school is like the most positive. I tend to focus on the negative and look at my family drama and stuff, but my school and the lives I touch with the kids, it's really positive. And also, we just lost a teacher on Monday. He died of a heart attack on Sunday, April 23rd. And we got the news Monday during class. And we were in the middle of the 10-day challenge, and it just stopped. Everything just stopped because this man had died suddenly. We were all shocked. And because of the Zen practice, I was able to I cried with the students. We hugged each other like they were crying. And it was shocking, but I do feel like that was this practice too, knowing how to just show up and be there with them on this emotional level, and then say, okay, we're going to start tomorrow, you know, and they did, and I could check in with them. Are you guys okay? But that spirit thing doesn't always happen. It's like, oh, but it's good to talk about it, because the more I allow it, the more it does, but I don't always talk about it. So thank you for asking that question, because that helped me to put words to it.
Has there been any opportunity? Have you felt comfortable with sharing your Zen practice with any of your students?
Yeah, I have some. We do a lot of, not this kind, we don't meditate for this long, but we will do, okay, everyone sit down and either close your eyes or keep them open, focused on a point, and we'll do like a concentration for a few, you know, minutes. I haven't really gone off on my Zen journey with them, but yeah, except for one class, because sometimes I sit with Morningstar and they're on Zoom at 7, and my school starts at 7:30, and they go from 7 to 7:45. And this one time, I don't know, I just had the group on the TV, and the kids came into the class, and I was like, oh, there's a Tay show happening. And like, they're like, or meditation. And they're like, what's that? And they were into it, but they weren't into it for that long. Like it was only like a 10-minute period. And I could tell they needed attention and more guidance, but I feel I could always do more with meditation and the kids, and just push them a little bit more, because it changes them. It radically changes that they're coming from so many different things in school, fights or breakups or family issues, or they failed a test, and then they come into my class and to get them present for the, what we're doing, it's great to do something like meditate.
So, and I mean this in the best way. So.
Be careful.
Wendy's like a crier.
I am.
What I really love about it is she'll go from a cry to a laugh.
It's interesting. So I need a lot of practice.
Anyone else have any questions or comments? Thank you for your bravery.
Thank you. Yeah.